If you are a union rep sitting here this morning, or you're somebody that's in the middle of a wage enterprise agreement or disagreement, you won't like that gospel at all. It's just not going to work for you. So I just need to put it into a little bit of historical context for you so it starts to make sense. Firstly, disregard in your mind the way that we have been conditioned and brought up when it comes to work and wages in Australia at this time. Historically, we are very, very focused on the economics. That is not what this gospel is about. It is a parable, it's a story. It's not a factual event. It is a story that Jesus is using to highlight a point. And in fact, there would be two points at least in there. It'll only make sense to you if you put the economics behind and then you go back to the first reading. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. It is the Lord who speaks through the prophet Isaiah. Yes, the heavens are as high above earth as my ways are above your ways, my thoughts above your thoughts. Now, once we understand that we can never fully comprehend the mystery of God in the world, once we get that we are part of creation, we are an unfinished entity which is constantly sometimes being recreated and sometimes just simply unfolding, like going from a little child to a very mature person. There is a journey, and the journey that we experience today is not the same as what we experienced yesterday. The Mediterranean mind in the time of Jesus, they thought things very, very differently than the way that we do now. Because, as I said at the beginning of my homily, in our Western world, we are very focused on the economics. Our starting point is quite often the dollar. So we need to put that aside, as I say again, to understand or to immerse ourselves in the mystery of our place in the world. The Mediterranean world, in the time of Jesus, they thought that there was a finite amount of everything. It's completely the opposite to the way that we think now, because we are a user generation. We are a throwaway generation. There's always more where that came from. And as a result of that, the planet is in the crisis state that it is today. Both if I looked at things in terms of global warming, if I looked at the way the world is, and in the places in the world where justice just doesn't seem to prevail, and we highlight that with migrants and refugees this weekend, that the wealthy are so wealthy that they keep the poor so poor. Now, that was also the same in Jesus' day, the disparity between the wealthy and the poor. But this day and age, because of the economic influence, the wealth is so much greater and the poverty is so much more profound. And it's also more profound because it is in front of us constantly, thanks to technology. So we know what's going on. In the Mediterranean world, they didn't. They had a limited ability to picture their place and to work their place in society. And so looking at the gospel, it's not about economics at all. It is actually about the mystery of the bigness, if you like, of God, and how difficult it is for us to fathom that. So it's about God's generosity. And then I put this gospel into the time of Matthew's community, his early church. And there's those that the landowner has employed early, and then there are those that have done 1 hour's work, and they get paid the same. So what does that mean? The first reference to those that are employed early would be to the first Jewish Christians, those who came to follow Jesus immediately or soon. That's who they refer to. So Jesus came to the Jewish people first. Some accepted, some rejected him. Those who accepted, They were in the vineyard. That their task now is to produce fruit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Now, that responsibility applies to everybody. But some people don't get to experience that opportunity until perhaps late in life. Some people probably don't get to experience it at all because of their life situation. And so the ones that come at the 11th hour, they represent the Gentiles primarily. Those who came to the faith, came into the church after witnessing and experiencing the early church. So what you've got there in the story, the five times that Jesus goes out, that the landowner goes out to call people in to work in his vineyard, it represents the short history of those that have heard and responded and those that eventually heard and responded and formed the early church. That's why it's broken up that way. It tells an historical account, but it also tells, the second thing, it tells of the generosity, I say, of God. So that those who come to understand the Lord's presence in their life later, they are treated exactly the same as those that were expecting the greatest things, because that they kind of thought it was always just a reward. It was deserved to them. And many of the Jewish converts were like that. We're God's chosen race. We're the A-list. We're in the members' stand. However, many rejected that. And this parable, this story tells us that God's generosity is not broken up into a reward system, especially an economic reward system. No, God's presence in our life is spread equally among everyone. However, when we look at the workers that came in at various times, and then the landowner says, well, why are you still standing here? One of them says, well, no one's employed us. So we look at it in terms of, well, why? Why haven't they been employed? And you look at your workspaces and how the world operates and stuff. We are not all gifted with the same ability to get up early in the morning and go to the marketplace and get a job. Some of us can't do that for whatever reason. And then when we do get there to try to get employed, we don't have the gifts that the employer wants. Our gifts might lie elsewhere. And that's what the ones who were there at the last minute, what they represent. How do we know? They might have had a flat chariot tyre on the way to getting a job, if you get flat chariot tyres, I'm not sure. But we should not assume that we are all gifted in the same way, as it were, and therefore we respond the same way. No, the wealthy are very wealthy in the world because they also have power. The poor are very poor in the world because they are powerless. They are still gifted people, but their gifts manifest themselves in a different way. So it is not about judgment, and it's not about economics, the way that we live our life. It is about demonstrating in the vineyard. You are in the vineyard now. It is about demonstrating in the vineyard that God is present and that he loves you and he has created you an equal. No matter what the colour of your skin, no matter what your background history or your current history, your gender, your age, your accent makes no difference. In the vineyard of the Lord, all are one. And it is a real struggle in 2023 to treat everybody with such dignity. It is a real challenge because the powerful are so powerful and the powerless are so powerless. It is our task as workers in the vineyard to bring forward the ability in everybody to not use power, but to raise people up. That's what treating people equally is about. It is actually about raising up, not pointing the finger because we can clearly see that you're down. No, it is about us pulling people forward into the vineyard. And then, of course, the responsibility is to make sure that they feel valued, that their dignity is respected with whatever they have or whatever they do not have, and that we journey with. It is not a case of extending an invitation saying, well, you're in here now, thanks very much, you're on your own. We journey with. And it's a very beautiful image, the generosity of God and the opportunity that is there for all of us to do something positive. You may think, like, I don't have that ability, I don't have that gift. Rubbish, it is there. And we have to scratch around and find it sometimes. Not all of us are the same. Some of you would love to stand up and public speak. Psychologists tell us, for example, that the biggest fear that most people have is not dying. It's actually public speaking, standing up. Some people have that gift, others don't. And when I think about the fear of public speaking and say, at a funeral, dying, does that say that some people would prefer to be in the box rather than in the pulpit? Because of that fear? Don't let that hold us back. Not at all. Don't do that. We don't need to be those people, because the generosity of God is so manifest in our life. And our difficulty, I think, is what is it that blinds me from recognising it? That's the first thing. What is it that blinds me from recognising the presence of God? And then, secondly, what do I do about removing that? Is God's presence active in my life, or is it dormant? This is not the weekend to go to sleep.